So last week, I think we were on forgiveness, and then, or actually the week before, and then I took a little hiatus because I did a personal journey of psoriasis, which was simply reading with no audio. So this week, we are now going back to the audio, and well, let's just start. Truman had barely closed his eyes when before him he saw a pair of twinkling dark eyes staring back at him. His first reaction was to hide under the nearest table. He wasn't ready for any new information, as he was already in a state of overwhelm from the previous three lessons, or legs, as the dogs called them. "Up and at 'em," barked the Schipperke. "I'm too tired," whined Truman. "No time for tired," snapped the dog. "We've got a boatload of stuff to squeeze into that head of yours. Chop, chop, lots to do before you move on to your next assignment." "But I don't want an assignment. I just want to sleep." "Plenty of time to sleep when all this is over. Come on, we have work to do. Did I introduce myself? Probably not. Always forget the niceties. Busy, busy. Anyway, my name is Snap. I'm a Schipperke. We used to work on boats and barges, caught rats, much like your breed, Brussels Griffin, if I'm not mistaken." "That's correct," said Truman. "But we moved up a notch or two from ratting. We were the favorites of the Belgian royalty." "Well, bully for you. Okay, then, off we go. Do you like to swim?" "No, me neither. Ridiculous to think that we spent most of our life on skiffs and ferries and sailboats, the whole nine yards of water-going vessels, yet we hate water. Odd, don't you think?" "I suppose so," said Truman unenthusiastically. "We need to get that energy of yours pumping. This next leg is about feeling good. It's a high-energy leg, a happy leg, based on what we have, or where we are, or who we are. And you would not exactly be a poster child for that, at least not at this moment." Truman realized that Snap was not going to leave him be, so he grudgingly sat up and paid attention. "That's more like it," said Snap. "We always save the best for the last, although I wouldn't repeat that to your other mentors. They would not approve. Don't want to get myself into trouble. I always think it's the easiest, just my opinion." "Easy works for me," said Truman. "So tell me, Truman, through all this, dog thing, changing bodies and all that, is there any part for which you might be grateful?" "Not that I can think of," answered Truman. "Hmm," said Snap. "Maybe this won't be the easiest for you. Okay, what about in your previous life, the human one?" Truman thought for a few moments. "I don't know," said Truman. "It just seemed to be a lot of work without much reward. I mean, I had a book published, but that just ended up being a bit of a nightmare, to tell the truth. And I guess I should be happy about my children, two of them, but neither of them turned out as I would have hoped. Then there was my marriage, which from the outside looked pretty good, but from the inside, well, marriage can be complicated. There are always issues that need to be dealt with. I was away a lot of the time, work-related. When I got home, all I wanted to do was sit in a chair and read a good book, but my wife, Sylvia, was very social, so that caused more stress, and I felt put upon because she wanted to go out and have fun, and I guess I wasn't very much fun. And then there was my skin." "Your skin?" asked Snap. "My skin condition. Didn't you read about it in my file?" "Oops, guilty. I'm not really big on research. Bores me. Rather fly by the seat of my pants, get it from the horse's mouth, or in your case, the dog's. Ha ha. I didn't notice you scratching, so." "That's because I don't appear to have the problem now that I'm a dog." "Well, there you have it. Something to be grateful for. I knew you'd come up with something," said Snap. "I hardly think a few days or a few weeks or however long it's been is something to get excited about. I had psoriasis for over 30 years. It was a nightmare. You have no idea what I went through." "Oh, I don't know," said Snap. "I had a few diseases myself over a number of incarnations, of course. Had tuberculosis a few times. That was a drag. But that's just part of the rich tapestry called life. I mean, it's not like psoriasis can kill you." "See, that's how other people, the ones that don't have it, see it. If I'd had something terminal, I might have gotten at least a bit of empathy. But when you have a skin disease covering your body, all you get is people staring at you in disgust, like somehow you've done something horrible. To have skin that looks so gross, you might as well be a leper. You are a leper." Well, I'm not so sure about that, Truman. I was a leper once, and trust me, it was no picnic. You clearly don't know much about psoriasis, do you? Can't say as I do, said Snap, but like I said, I had a few horror stories of my own, so I guess we could spend our time having a pity party, or we could get on with the final leg, which is what I'm supposed to be teaching you, and the clock's ticking. Okay, here we go, the last leg, said Snap. Leg number 4, gratitude, as presented by Snap, the Skipper Key. Gratitude is major important, like off the charts important. Again, it's a matter of focus. You can spend your time and energy on what's not working in your life. That's one choice. But you would be like that would be like going to a smorgasbord and piling what you didn't like onto your plate. Would you do that? Probably not, said Truman. Right, unless you were a masochist. No. You'd look over the table of food, see what you liked, and choose those dishes. If you liked Cajun ribs and cornbread, well, you'd load up on those, your idea of delicacies. As for the cucumber salad, you'd skip it, right? I guess so. Well, the same thing goes for life. Most of us get to choose what we want to have running around inside our head. Seriously, you want to feel crappy? Fill your head with crap. What's not working? Historical horror shows, what might go wrong in the future, who's pissing you off, where you failed in the past. There are tons of things in everyone's life that are less than stellar. Or you could move your focus onto the things that are working, be grateful for them. Did you ever have a time when you didn't have enough to eat? I mean, when you were actually starving? No, said Truman. Well, lucky you. You could be grateful for that. What about your career? Was it really so bad? It paid the bills, Truman reluctantly admitted. So you had enough, probably more than enough. I'm talking money. Most of the time. Well, Truman, a lot of people don't. So maybe you could eke out a little gratitude for that. And you had a couple of children, right, in a nice home with a roof that didn't leak, and you took a few vacations in other countries, went to the beach. Yes, where I hid my body, it was hardly fun. Boo-hoo! Look, you had it better than 98% of the known world, and that doesn't even count everyday ordinary joys like sunshine or music or trees or birds and bees or freedom. And not to be forgotten, you won a bicycle when you were 10. I thought you didn't read my file, said Truman. I scanned it. There were lots of things you could have been grateful for. They just went right past you, or rather you went past them, because you were already on to the next thing. Never took a few minutes to show a little appreciation for what was right in front of your nose. Bad habit. You're not alone in having it. Now, don't get me wrong, said Snap. I'm not talking about being one of those walking, talking, smiley faces, phony as a $3 bill. See, Pollyanna was all right in her place, which was a storybook, but in real life she would have been a royal pain in the ass. It's all about balance. No one's going to be happy all the time. You just want to be conscious of choice. Sure, sometimes you're going to want to wallow, self-pity, boo-hoo. We all do. Just keep it under control. And while we're on the topic, don't confuse sadness with grief. Grief takes time. It's not a 2-day vacation from work and then snap out of it kind of thing. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So, just for the sake of argument, why not spend a few minutes thinking or rethinking some of the things in your life? You know, the stuff you've bitched and complained about. Just see if you can find something worthwhile about them. Like what? Asked Truman. Oh, I don't know. Pick something. Anything. Well, I can't think of one good thing about psoriasis. Nothing? Asked Snap. Absolutely nothing, said Truman. Truman thought harder. He remembered when he first saw the spots on his legs. He hadn't worried too much about it. Then it got worse. When he finally went to see the doctor, his skin was a mess. And that's when he got the news. He had an incurable disease. He knew what it was before he got the news. He was a doctor, after all. He'd been in denial. And over the years, he was convinced that a cure was just around the corner, but more years went by, and all he could do was keep it under control with creams and yearly UVB treatments. It never went away completely. His wife, Sylvia, had always been very supportive, but then she didn't have the disease. She never complained about the mess it made, about his tendency to become solitary and irritable when his skin got worse. She understood his reticence about going to the beach, showing his bare skin, being stared at. She did her best to live with his anger and frustration. She'd stuck by him through it all. I guess I was lucky to have Sylvia. She never complained, and she was very supportive. And I guess you let her know how grateful you were, said Snap. No, I don't think I did, said Truman. So she got to suffer too. I guess she did. Probably pretty hard on her. I never actually thought about how she was feeling, said Truman. I don't know how she put up with me. My guess, because she loved you. How could she? I was unlovable. Ah, there it is, cried Snap. What, said Truman? The key, thinking you were unlovable. But I was, said Truman. Only in your mind, said Snap. You looked at your skin and whammo. You thought you were unlovable. You decided that was who you were. But now you're a griffin. You're getting a ton of attention. Everyone thinks you're adorable. Too many you's in cute. That ought to make up for some of your past. Sorry, I'm not convinced, said Truman. Another trait of griffins, stubbornness, which is what you're being right now. Try to let it go for a few minutes. You never know. It might work, Snap continued. So, gratitude is the antidote for envy, self-pity, and depression. It heals the mind. I guess you're feeling a bit depressed right now. Wouldn't you be, said Truman. I guess if I hadn't seen as much as I have, but trust me, your take on life is pretty narrow, and wallowing in self-pity is not that attractive, if you don't mind my saying. I do, actually, said Truman. Well, get over it. You have no idea how wonderful your life is going to be. As a dog, Truman sneered. There are worse things to be. You could have come back as a rat or as a human. As far as I can tell, your life as a human wasn't exactly a cabaret, old chum. So let's get back to gratitude. Gratitude has the ability to uplift your life. That's its benefit. It's uplifting. It lifts your heart. It's hard to feel gratitude and depression at the same time. One cancels out the other. You don't have to take my word for it. Try it. Truman thought hard. He remembered the day he saw the most wonderful bicycle in the hardware store window. It was to be the grand prize in a competition. He was 10 years old. After he'd seen it, it was all he could think about. He'd filled out the contest form, sure he could never win. He'd gone home and sat in his room. After 3 days, he'd given up hope. Of course he hadn't won. He knew it. He wasn't the kind of person who won things. He wasn't lucky. And then the phone rang and his mother called him downstairs. She said it was Mr. Baldwin, the owner of the hardware store. Truman had won the bicycle. He didn't know what to do with himself. He'd never been so happy in the whole 10 years of his life. Just remembering it brought a smile to his face. As I already said Snap, gratitude heals the mind, and the mind can be a very dangerous place. As I'm sure you're aware, I mean, that's what you spent most of your time doing, wasn't it? Trying to change people's mind? That's what therapy is supposed to do, ideally, of course. But dogs know better. We spend our time in the here and now, in this moment. In this moment, we're grateful for little things, treats, pats, belly rubs. Have you had a belly rub yet? I have, in fact, said Truman. Isn't it great? It is pleasant, Truman admitted. Now, the final movement of the breath in the fourth leg goes like this. Remember how you breathed forgiveness? The breath moved from in front of you, then through the heart, then out your back. So, for gratitude, you inhale the breath from far behind you, move it into your heart, Then it will take a 90-degree turn upward, exhaling it up, up, up to the universe. Take notice. Your exhalation for gratitude ends where the inhalation for meditation begins, which is to say that you now have a complete system of breathing which ties in with the four legs. It makes more sense if you do the practice, and practice is what leads to perfect, said Snap. And that's the end of our reading for this week. See you next week. Have a creative week.